What's the rituals? Can you, like, what I'm just thinking is, what we, I think of it is that, supposing if you say, like, Hoi or Karma Chauth or whatever, so is it that particular day you can just feel like gratitude for getting, supposing whether, again, it's again body level, because it's son or husband or whatever. So it's all consciousness level. It's no, like, Hoi is for children, for your son. So that gratitude of, and the humility of, that it's not my son, it's God's gift. So, the gratitude for that. And
see, truly speaking,
just a reminder of once a year that.
Once a year means what? It should continue. Once a year you may do it as a ritual, but the feeling should continue throughout the year.
Yeah.
It's not just that day you feel good and the next of the day
you
go to hell. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every symbolism is like that. Every token of... Yes. Absolutely. But a lot of rituals have come into being because of, like I said, that fulfillment of desires. For the sake of fulfillment of desires. Then you do so. Absolutely. Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastumavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We'll chant verses 36 to 40, chapter 2.
Avachyavadhamscha bahun Vadishyantitavahitaha Nindantastavasamatyam Tato dukkataram nukim Avachyavadhamscha bahun Vadishyanti tavahitaha Nindantastavasamatyam Tato dukkataram mukim Hato va prapsyasi swargam Jitva va bhokshyase mahim Tasmadutishta kaunteya Yuddhaya kritanischayah Hato va prapsyasi swargam Jitva va bhokshyase mahim Tasmadutishta kaunteya Yuddhaya kritanischayah Sukha dukke samikritva Labha labhau jaya jayau Tato yuddhaya yujyasva Naivam papam avapsyasi Sukha dukke samikritva Labha labhau jaya jayau Tato yuddhaya yujyasva Naivam papam avapsyasi Yesha te vihita sankhe Buddhir yoge tvimam shrunu Buddhya yukto yaya partha Karma bandham prahasyasi Yesha te vihita sankhe Buddhir yoge tvimam shrunu Buddhya yukto yaya partha Karma bandham prahasyasi Neha vikramana shosti ప్రత్యవాయో న విద్యతే స్వల్పమప్యస్య ధర్మస్య త్రాయతే మహతో భయాత్ నేహాభిక్రమణాశోస్తి ప్రత్యవాయో న విద్యతే స్వల్పమప్యస్య ధర్మస్య త్రాయతే మహతో భయాత్.
Points that Lord Krishna makes here to Arjuna, he understands Arjuna's nature as a Kshatriya. So from that point of view, he is talking, which needs to be understood clearly. If it was a Brahmana, he would have said something else. If it was a Vaishya, he would have said something else. In other words, all that he is saying is, as per your Swadharma, you should function. The way to salvation is through your Swadharma. Most importantly, do not imitate. What is correct for Arjuna and what would lead Arjuna to salvation need not be correct for you and need not lead you to salvation. Krishna understands Arjuna very well. Arjuna is a very close friend of Lord Krishna. So he says, Arjuna, you are from head to toe an out and out Kshatriya. Being Kshatriya, this is a fantastic opportunity. Fantastic opportunity doesn't mean that you have been waiting for the war. The war just fell on your lap in spite of you trying to avoid the war. Therefore, there are two things as we discussed yesterday. One is, this is your nature, and for a Kshatriya, nothing better other than a battle, and that too righteous battle. And second point is, it's a battle that has come to you unsought, without expectation. And since you are in the battlefield which you did not seek, you did not ask for, if you enter that battle and fight, that is heaven. So what is heaven? Heaven is equal to being in the field of your nature without expectation. Heaven is not a place where you go, but when you do what as per your nature in the field which in accordance with your nature without expectation, that is heaven. Whether you lose or win in that field doesn't really matter. Even if you lose, you are in heaven. Even if you win, you are in heaven. Victory or defeat doesn't determine heaven or hell. This is what Lord Krishna is trying to say. And this needs to be understood clearly, because a lot of us think heaven means beautiful place. Hell means the opposite of it. What we need to understand is, when your attitude is positive, you are there without any expectation, accepting things totally, then wherever you are, that gets converted into heaven. It is not determined by the place, it's determined by the person. Heaven and hell is not determined by the place, it's determined by the person. We discussed this yesterday. John Milton says, mind in its own place can make a hell out of heaven. the heaven out of hell. Same place, if you had a positive mind, you would convert that into heaven. Negative mind, you will take it as hell. So, Krishna is telling you through Arjuna that the secret is just be yourself. Just be yourself. Like Swamiji once gave a quotation in the class, he said, be yourself no more. Act not to achieve. Love not to be loved. Study not to learn. Let the goal remain with the goal, you will get there. Be yourself no more. Act, comma, not to achieve. Love, comma, not to be loved. Study, comma, not to learn. Let the goal remain with the goal, you will get there. So Krishna is asking Arjuna to be Arjuna. Just be yourself, you are a Kshatriya. And having chosen the field of activity, another important factor is you should be in that field without any expectations. And whatever has come, accept it totally, move into it with total acceptance. And then he goes on to say, if you do act that way, you will be in heaven. Supposing you don't fight, you run away. Being a Kshatriya, when you have moved away from the battle, and especially such a battle which has come unsought, you will be incurring sin. You will be mentally disturbed, agitated. So he says, also people will start criticizing you. You lose your name and fame also. You will not get heaven. You lose your fame. Everything will be taken away from you. And for a Kshatriya, it matters. And especially for a person who is highly regarded. So Krishna said, such a person like you who is highly regarded will be slightly, lightly held. And that is too much to take for Arjuna. With that, Lord Krishna continues. We'll chant verse 36.
Avachyavadhamsya bahun, vadishyanti tavahitaha, vadishyanti tavahitaha, nindantastavasamadhyam, tato dukkataram nukim. Avachyavadhamsya bahun, vadishyanti tavahitaha, nindantastavasamartyam, tato dukkataram nukim.
Not only your equals, even your enemies, he says, and your enemies will say many unbecoming words, cavilling your prowess. This is too much for a Kshatriya. For a Kshatriya, this is worse than death. So he says, what indeed could be more painful than that? For a Kshatriya, death is not painful. Cavilling his prowess is painful. If somebody poo-poos his ability, his strength, that he cannot take, only then he is a Kshatriya. Supposing he says, doesn't matter, you think whatever you want, then he is not a Kshatriya. To some extent he has become a Brahmana. For a Kshatriya, that pride is there in him. This cannot take it. Like even some people say, you should have that mustache. It's too much for them, you know. If you take away that mustache, they cannot take it in India. It's associated with their prowess and pride. So he says, and your enemies will say many unbecoming words. So he talked about general public. Then he talked about people who are equal to you. Now he is saying even enemies, those who were scared of you, will start talking ill about you. They will start cavilling your prowess. So people from all levels, who are lower than you, who are equal to you, who are scared of you, everybody will start talking ill about you. What indeed could be more painful than that, Arjuna? So from any angle you look, from your Swadharma angle, from the name and fame angle, from the worldly point of view, from any angle you look, Arjuna, this is the right thing for you to do.
Hato va prapsyasi swargam, hato va prapsyasi swargam, jitva va bhokshyasi mahim, bhokshyasi mahim, tasma duttishta kaunteya, yuddhaya krita nishchayaha. Hato va prapsyasi swargam, jitva va bhokshyasi mahim, tasma duttishta kaunteya, yuddhaya krita nishchayaha.
Either slain, you will attain heaven, or victorious, you will enjoy the earth. Therefore, arise, O Kaunteya, determined to fight. Now, there are few things that becomes very clear in this verse. We have also discussed before this question that is asked by a few people. It looks as if Krishna is inducing Arjuna to get into war, when Arjuna actually wants to get away from war. It looks as if Krishna is a warmonger. Now, why would Krishna push Arjuna into the battle? This question needs to be understood clearly, thoroughly by us. Here if you see, it is very clear that Krishna is not pushing into Arjuna into the battle because it's a certain victory. If it was a certain victory, he would not say this here. Hatova prapsyasi swargam. Lot of us would get into the battle when we know clearly that we are going to be the winner. When we know that this is not going to be victory to us, then we will say, oh, what's the use in fighting? Let's not fight, etc. When it is not clear, you may win, you may lose, then why would you get into it? It's not certain. This Mahabharata battle is not certain that Arjuna will win. Arjuna could lose also. Not only he could lose, he could die. This is very clearly stated by Krishna. When the victory is not clear, when it is not determined that you are going to win, then if you are going to enter into it, why would you enter into it? Just think about it. Why would you enter into it? When you consider action as supreme, not the result. What matters is action. I am not really bothered about the outcome. And this is Krishna's philosophy. He is saying, hato va prapsyasi swargam. And this swargam that he is talking about is not guaranteeing a place called heaven. Because a lot of us kind of think that, oh, because he did what he is supposed to do, he will be assured a place in heaven. There is a place called heaven, and then he will be given a 5-bedroom or 10-bedroom accommodation there, because he had done what he is supposed to do. This is how we will understand it. This is not what he is saying. What he is saying is, heaven first of all is not a geographical place. It's a state of mind. When a person enters his obligation with this attitude, whether I may be successful or a failure, doesn't matter. With this attitude, when he enters, that state of mind is heaven. Excuse me. సో హతోవా ప్రాప్స్యసి స్వర్గం, విత్ దట్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ యు డై. జిత్వా భోక్ష్యసి మహీం, ఇఫ్ యు హ్యాపన్ టు విన్ దెన్ విత్ దట్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ యు విల్ ఆల్సో గెట్ వాట్ ప్యాలెస్, సో మెనీ అదర్ ఫెసిలిటీస్. So whether you have the facility or not, as far as your state of mind is concerned, you are already in heaven. And this is what we need to understand. So Krishna is saying, firstly, this war outcome may be favorable to you, may not be favorable to you. You may die, or you may live and everybody else may die. That is even worse scenario. It actually happened, isn't it? Arjuna lived, but Abhimanyu died. Ask yourself this question. If I am given this question by God, I have to take one of your lives, yours or your sons or daughters. Which one would you? You will say, you rather take my life, because it's more painful to live without my son or daughter. So here, the situation may be that you die or everybody dies, others die and you survive. It can be anything. All sorts of probabilities are there. So Krishna is saying, don't even think about it. If you lose, if you die, it's heaven. Because it should not be understood as if a place is assured for you. Then also it is like there is a motive. Okay, there is some promise. I will get that, therefore I will do it. Today, so many people are into the so-called religious war because they are all promised heaven. You understand? You do this, you destroy so many people, you will be seated next to God. This sort of promise Krishna is not giving. He is not giving Arjuna in that sense. He is saying that very state of mind which you, if you have got, that is heaven. Either slain, you get heaven. If you win, you get the pleasures. Now, this is another thing that we need to learn. Krishna is not against pleasures. Enjoy. Don't go after them. But Krishna's philosophy is, don't run after pleasures. He is not saying don't enjoy pleasures. There are two different things. Enjoying pleasure has got to do with your body contacting it. Running after pleasure has got to do with your mind running after it. Are you with me? Vedanta is only saying, let your mind not run after pleasures. Vedanta is not saying don't contact pleasures. If you misunderstand this, you had it. In fact, a lot of people misunderstand it, therefore they don't come anywhere close to Vedanta. And also the so-called Vedantins, they put up a picture outside as if they are in serious trouble. You understand? If you take them to Niagara Falls, they'll say, nothing. You are expected to say that. Only then you are a Vedantin. You should not get excited. I mean, of course you should not get excited, but if you can't see the beauty there, you should equally see the beauty in the flower in your garden. But then, if you cannot enjoy a Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls, how can you be a Vedantin? But a lot of people understand it that way. Oh, he also has value for these things. He also enjoys. So then he cannot be a Vedantin. So Vedantin means what? He must suffer. He must walk in fire. He must wear torn clothes. He must not be properly combed. Everything ulta. Then he is a great Vedantin. He must be walking by feet. Should not use vehicle. In other words, from where these concepts have come, torturing yourself is not going to be pleasing God. God is not a sadist. So Krishna is not against pleasure. He is only saying, don't run after pleasure. Are you with me? Earlier in one verse he said, battle that has come unsought. Now he is saying, if you win, you get the pleasures. Enjoy that. What is wrong in it? Later on in the third chapter he is going to say, a sattvic person is one who enjoys the remnants of sacrifice. Having sacrificed whatever you come, whatever you get, whatever comes your way, enjoy it. So therefore, Vedanta is never against enjoyment. Vedanta is against your mind running after enjoyment. They are two different things. Even in Bhajagovindam, Adi Shankara says the same thing. The Krishna should be removed. Everybody thinks Adi Shankara is against enjoyment. Nothing like that. Sky is the limit. So he says, either slain you will attain heaven, or victorious you will enjoy the earth. Therefore arise, O Kaunteya. Arise what? Arise means what? You will listen to this throughout the Gita. Uttishta, uttishta, uttishta. Even Swami Vivekananda said, arise, awake and stop not till the goal is reached. Arise, arise, arise. Why does he say arise? You can say Arjuna was seated. If you remember, he threw away his Gandiva and said, I will not fight. So Krishna is probably telling him to get up. Is he just asking him to physically get up? He is asking him to awaken to what?
Consciousness.
To this state where you can treat both success and failure equally. He is going to explain that in the next verse. Arise. We have taken sides. So arise from that state. Uttishta. Tasmat uttishta. Kaunteya yuddhaya krita nishchaya. Determined to fight. Just keeping your focus in action. In the present. Whatever comes should not be your concern. He's going to explain that in verse 47 later on. But he is slowly taking you in that direction. Yuddhaya krita nishchaya. Yuddha here. For Arjuna, it is the dharma. For Vaishya, samadha dharma. For Shudra, samadha dharma. For Brahmana, samadha dharma. As per your obligation. So yuddha here means arise and do your obligation without any prefix or suffix. Yuddha means fight. Face that challenge, whatever might be the challenge. In the case of Arjuna, fighting is his obligation. In your days, it may be something else. So yuddhaya krita nishchaya means determined to do your obligation. Your focus should be in obligation, not how the result would turn out to be. Verse 38 is a very important verse. It's kind of a summary of what he said so far. Sukha dukkhe same kritva, sukha dukkhe same kritva, labha labhau jaya jayau, labha labhau jaya jayau, tato yuddhaya yujyasva, yuddhaya yujyasva, naivam papam avapsyasi, papam avapsyasi, sukha dukkhe same kritva, labha labhau jaya jayau, tato yuddhaya yujyasva, naivam papam avapsyasi. Treating alike pleasure and pain, gain and loss, victory and defeat, then get ready for battle. Thus you will not incur sin. Huh? throughout Krishna has been talking about how to not incur sin. Because Arjuna in the beginning said, if I do all these things, I'll incur sin. There I mentioned to you, Arjuna's argument has been, action per se is sinful. Here Krishna is contradicting him by saying, action per se is not sinful, it is sin or not is determined by the attitude of the person who does that action. These two has to be understood clearly. Lot of us are like Arjuna who clearly take action per se as sin. Krishna clearly says it's not the action but it is the attitude. Krishna's importance is given to the person, Arjuna's importance is given to the action. So what is he saying? Sukha dukkha. What is that? Pleasure and pain. Sukha dukkhe same kritva. Labha labau jaya jaya. Labha alabha means profit and loss. Jaya jaya means victory and defeat. Tato yuddhaya yujyasva. Then get ready for the battle. Then join the battle. Thus you will not incur sin. If possible, try and memorize this verse. Without wanting to memorize, you should memorize. In the sense, if you just simply chant 5 verses a day, regularly, the same 5 verses for the first week and the next 5 verses, like that, automatically the verses get by heart. And these are verses which are very, very important. Here he says, the pairs of opposites that he had mentioned, some of the pairs of opposites, sukha, dukkha, pleasure and pain, labha, labha, profit and loss, jaya, jaya, defeat and victory, victory and defeat. Conquering them, conquering pleasure and pain, conquering victory and defeat, conquering profit and loss. Get into battle. For us, when we conquer, profit or loss comes. When we conquer, victory or defeat comes. When we conquer, pleasure and pain comes. Here he is saying, you conquer it before you get into action. What does it mean? At the thought level, when you get into the action, you weigh the pros and cons. Is this going to give me profit? In fact, a lot of people ask, sir, what will we get if we go to Vedanta Academy for 3 years? After that, do they give you a certificate or something? And is that certificate recognized by any university? Or if I attend these Vedanta classes, what will I get? Something to eat after the class you will get. Maybe. Something, you know, constantly, what will I get? What will I get? What will I get? Is how the mind works. So here Krishna is saying, you should rise above that. Rise above that calculative mind. What does that mean? You need to pause and understand, because this is a very, very important verse. The entire verse is nothing but a summary of what he has said so far. So before you get ready for the battle, means action, whatever karma that you are supposed to do, before you start that, you should have mentally conquered pleasure and pain, profit and loss. What does that mean? Anybody?
Without the expectation of the result.
Okay.
Is that?
But how do you gain that attitude?
By just doing your duty, performing your true nature. Go by what your nature says.
It's easier
to be a child. It's unconditional.
See, it is easier said than done. You can also give one lecture. But when it comes to you, if you put yourself in Arjuna's place, will you be able to do it? It's easy to say. But your mind will definitely be looking in terms of what will I get from it? If I have to do it, what will I get from it? Victory or defeat? And everybody who gets into any action is coming with this inside, deep inside, looking forward for victory. So what is he trying to say? How do you understand this verse?
Then,
whether victory or defeat, then you know you've given it your best. So there was
in the action, in the present.
Not to
be affected by any of the pairs of opposites at any level of existence.
See, rise above the pairs of opposites before you get into the action is what Lord Krishna's advice is. Now, how can you do it is my question.
Control the mind.
How do you do that?
That's a
method. How do you do that? What is the method?
Not worrying about the result and doing, just doing.
Understand the nature of pleasure and pain fully. Please understand that pleasure and pain cannot be separated. When you run after pleasure, pain will follow. When you run after pain, pleasure will follow. They are inseparable. Victory and defeat. You run after victory, defeat will follow. For every rise, there will be a fall. For every fall, there will be a rise. You cannot just choose only one. You need to gain the knowledge. The world, another name for the world is Dvandva. Dvandva means pairs of opposite. You want to choose only one. That's not possible. You want to conquer pain, then you have to conquer pleasure also. Lot of us, in the idea of conquering pain, we go after pleasure. You choose what is convenient to you. You lead a life of lethargy. You go after pleasure. Then what comes after that? Pain. Isn't it? You have chosen pleasure. But what comes after it is pain. You choose a life of difficulty. Rising early, going to bed early, doing what you have to do, etc. What comes behind it? Pleasure. Pain and pleasure are inseparable. And when you run after pleasure, your mind will be thinking about hope the pain doesn't come. hope the pain doesn't come. Are you with me? So you cannot avoid one and keep the other. You have to conquer both. How do you do that? By gaining the knowledge of the self as well as knowledge about the pain and pleasure itself. Both has to be understood clearly. For example, my mind is that which is going after profit and loss. It calculates profit, loss. What is profitable? What is not so profitable to me? So if this is profitable, I will go after that. This is not so profitable, I will not go after this. Isn't it? Tomorrow, if somebody says, this is more profitable than that, you are ready to give up that. So why anybody commits sin? Why anybody commits sin? If you deeply go inside, they are committing sin looking forward for profit. If going this way I get more, I choose that method. It is the profit motive that is pushing people into pop. Are you with me? If that motive is conquered, then you cannot do any pop. That is Krishna's argument. So how can you conquer that motive? You can conquer that motive by understanding profit and loss, pleasure and pain totally, and another understanding is of the self. Who am I? I Atma is different from the body, mind, intellect. We have discussed all this. So far Krishna has explained everything in detail. Right? So once, the more you reflect about Atma Jnana, you segregate Atma from the mind. Then you clearly see it is the mind that is going after pleasure and pain and not me.
You are saying focus on the journey and not the destination, right? Like focus on your karam, your dharma and your karam, and what is your job, and not on what the results yield, right? But I think, I mean, we make our decisions based a lot on actually the destination.
Absolutely.
Because that's a, I mean, how else do you know where you're going unless you have an end goal, right? I mean, you can look upon that as the gain or the profit, but really that leads us a lot more than the journey itself. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's what he's saying wrong. If you're doing that, you need to change. If you don't change,
so
then you'll continue with your mental agitations.
So nobody can. How do you, for everyday living, you can't just be aimless.
No, he's not saying be aimless.
You know.
He's not saying be aimless. All that he's saying is, you see, you have a certain nature of painting. You don't paint it with a profit motive. Just do it without any expectations. And when you do it that way, you will be fully in that action. When the ego is dead, there is no expectation, you are just doing it, an action of that caliber will automatically fetch money, name, fame, everything. All that would become a byproduct.
Okay, so it's a little different than what I understood before, that you can focus on the destination without...
What is the destination that you are talking about?
Whatever, like in this case, it's making a painting.
Making?
A painting. The example that you just took. But you're not looking upon making the painting, what it's going to do further. You're stopping and thinking about, I enjoy making a painting, and therefore I shall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And once you do that, such paintings would fetch probably millions. You did not think of millions, but it will fetch millions. Are you with me? Pleasure comes, so many people praise you. Fame comes, profit comes, everything comes. You did not think of it while painting, but they came. Accept them gracefully. You are not painting for profit, but when profit comes out of it, accept them gracefully. He's not saying don't accept them. Only last you give me all the profit, you give it to somebody else. That's not what he's saying.
And if you don't make it also, you should not be disappointed.
You will not be. Because if very making of the painting, you reach the crescendo of happiness. So, in fact, you are not bothered about the end result. So, treating alike pleasure and pain, joy and sorrow, gain and loss, victory, defeat, you can add any number of pairs of opposites. Then get ready for battle. So, before you start acting, you should have set your house in order. Before you plunged into acting, you should have your mind in its place. If the mind is not governed, if the mind is not controlled, if the awareness is not backing the mind, then the mind would go after profit and loss. And a person's mind going after profit is bound to do actions or avoid actions which will be lost to him, and do actions which will be profitable to him. In that bargain, you'll be committing sin. Are you with me? So why does anybody commit sin? If you go deeply, this is the thing. What will I get? So the question comes then, who is this I wanting to get this result? Ask that question. Every time the mind says, what will I get? Immediately reflect, ask the question, who is this I asking for profit? Once your focus shifts to I, then it is not going after profit. This is what I said. The mind is craving for a certain result, profit, victory. So the question you ask is, who is this I asking for victory? Who is this I enamored by profit? Once you have directed your thinking in that direction, then slowly the awareness about I, who this real I is rising in you. When the awareness rises to that extent, mind craving for profit and loss decreases. There is no other way. Simply telling people, don't think of profit and loss, will not help. Impossible. It's only gaining the knowledge that will help. That's all I'm saying. Simply because you read verse number 38 where Krishna said, treat alike pleasure and pain. Next minute, if some pain comes, you will make a big hue and cry about it. You would want the whole world to know that you are suffering. Isn't it? This advice will go nowhere into you. Therefore, I am telling you how Krishna is asking us, because he has already given you that knowledge. It's only by reflecting about Atma Anatma and reflecting about the nature of pleasure and pain. Something, in other words, pain is nothing but the shadow of pleasure. Pleasure is nothing but the shadow of pain. You must understand this also. You must understand the nature of Atma also. Then, to that extent, you will be freed from profit and loss, mentally. It's mental freedom from the profit and loss, not the physical freedom that he's talking about. Act, but the mind should not be in profit. What comes out of that action? It should be in the action. And that is only possible when your intellect has gained this knowledge. when you have kindled this awareness of Atma. Otherwise it's not possible. Because how can you determine any particular action as pap or punya? You saved somebody from dying. And that fellow, after few days, started murdering 25 people. Your action of saving that fellow, would you now call it pap or punya? Hindsight, you will say, I shouldn't have saved him. Because if I had not saved him, 25 people would not have died. But you didn't know that at that time. You may do with all good intentions, but he may go and kill so many people. But as far as you are concerned, you have not committed sin. If I consider myself to be the body, then the heat and cold matters to me. I want a comfortable weather around my body. If I consider my I as mind, then joy and sorrow matters to me. If I consider the I as intellect, then honor and dishonor matters to me. But if I know the real I, then pleasure and pain doesn't matter to me. Profit and loss doesn't matter to me. Heat and cold doesn't matter to me. Joy and sorrow doesn't matter to me. Are you with me? So therefore, it is knowing the real I that is important before you plunge into any action. Without awareness of I, without gaining the knowledge of I, when you are ignorant, you will commit sin. Nobody can consciously commit sin. Take it or leave it. Think about it. Negatives breed or develop in a dark room. A film roll negative is taken in a dark room and developed. When it is exposed to light, it cannot develop. So why anybody commits sin when they remain in ignorance? So the way to go about is to gain the knowledge of the self. Out of ignorance, a lot of people try to be good. But what they don't understand is they are gathering punya. That is another kind of gathering, another kind of collection. They are bound by punya. Somebody is bound by pap, another person is bound by punya. Ignorant person either collects punya or pap. You don't incur sin doesn't mean you collect punya. From the highest standpoint, collecting punya is also pap. Whether you are chained by gold, whether you are arrested by gold chain or by iron chain, doesn't matter. Pap and punya make you take birth again and again. So that is why people who understand this, they don't even want to go after punya. If you do an action, good action propelled by your good desire, then that will give you punya. If you do an action, bad action propelled by your bad desires, that will be giving you pap. Both pap and punya keep you in this world. As long as you are ignorant, you will either do punya activity or pap activity. When you gain knowledge, then you do activity which gathers neither punya nor pap. So Krishna's advice here is simply to know the real I. That's my part. Yes.
Guru is saying when you gain knowledge, you do action which neither incur pap or punya. When you gain knowledge. But the actions, okay, let's say from today we adopt an attitude that we do actions and with some buddhi and all that, some mind,
equanimity, and but let's say the results turn out to be good or bad. So then is one still incurring pap and punya?
The result can be anything.
So it's
No, I didn't. Come again with the question. What is the question?
With knowledge or without knowledge. But I'm saying that one has to do something. So when you're doing something, it's either a bad action with bad intentions, or it's a good action with good intentions. Now, when you do good actions and good intentions, with good intentions, you get punya. You incur punya. But then the objective is to do some sort of good actions while you're living. So which means everyone will incur that punya.
This is exactly the point. There is no such thing as good action or bad action. You saved somebody.
Huh.
And that fellow went on to kill 25 people. Hitler, if he was, his mother would have probably thought later on, if I had not delivered him only, if I had aborted him. Huh? A lot of people argue abortion is sin or good or bad and all that. Aborting a person like Hitler, had I known, his mother is saying, had I known that this is going to be this sort of a fellow, I would have aborted him then. You don't know what will be the result in future. Okay? You see, you throw a stone in a pond. The stone goes inside. The ripples are formed. Right? The stone might have gone and settled down in the riverbed. The ripples are going on. Similarly, Mahatma Gandhiji did something. He had gone, but the ripples are going on. Action is a chain. It continues. What results it will fetch, how it will pan out, we do not know. As far as you are concerned, what is ego? When the doer is involved in the action, then that is punya or pap.
So if one can do good actions, continue to do whatever good actions, but the idea is to be above the doership.
Yes.
And that
when you are above the doership and do an action, and that action could be of killing, for example, in the case of Arjuna, still it turns out to be a good action.
So then one gets out of the incurring of punya and pap.
Yes. See, it's simple. Instead of complicating it too much, just understand it this way. When I is there, to that extent, by killing somebody, I will get something. Therefore, I kill somebody, I gain pap. By killing somebody, I will gain punya. Therefore, I do it. I am not interested in killing. I am not killing. This is to be done, I am doing. What I will get out of it, I am not concerned. If you have that attitude, where is the pap or punya for you? Punya and pap is only for the doer. Punya and pap is not for the actor.
There is no emotion, there is no evaluation. There is nothing.
Now, why do you say there is no emotion?
Emotion
is there, is not emotional.
Yeah, okay. When you are not feeling happy or sad, when you are doing something or the result of it, then the minute you are not feeling anything, then there is no ego. It's only an ego that feels. So, when you are ego, if you are not feeling anything, it's the same. Then you are about doership.
Yes.
Then there is no ego.
So, the point here Lord Krishna is trying to say is, the verse is only saying treat these two alike. But I ask a question, how can you treat these two alike? You can treat these two alike only by knowing Atma. Until and unless you know Atma, you cannot treat these two alike. To the extent you are aware of Atma, to that extent you can be objective in your action.
Does that person become a realized
soul? Ultimately. When a person does actions like that, he doesn't gather impressions. See, it's simple. I mean, in the sense, all I'm trying to say is,
sometimes it can come in a flash.
So the point is this: you cannot treat profit and loss same unless you are objective. Objectivity means you are with Atma. Being with Atma, you view things, then you will be able to see these two equal, not otherwise. So from a relative point of view, Swamiji says in the book that have a goal beyond your selfish, self-centered interest. Okay, when you have a goal, you are working for that goal. You are not doing it for your selfish reasons. I may gain something out of it, I may not gain anything out of it. But this has to be done for the welfare of a society. Therefore, I do it. Right? But then, if you read the book, he would say, don't get stuck with any goal. Keep on escalating. Finally, where you go? The goal of self. That's what I'm saying. From the, a person may be working just for himself. Then that person has to work for family as a goal. Then community, then country, whatever. Goes on escalating. Then finally, where do you go? To the self. That's the point. So really speaking, until and unless you bring in the equation of the self, this treating alike pleasure and pain is not possible. So this is the point. For a waker, pleasure and pain, joy and sorrow in the dream is same. Somebody who is in the dream, it is not the same. Are you with me? So when he says treating alike pleasure and pain, so first thing he is talking about is before action is awake. Awakening is the important thing that Krishna is talking about. Without awakening, if you do action, then it is sleepwalking. There are three categories of people we keep on mentioning. People who are completely asleep, people who are sleepwalking, people who are awake. Krishna is for waking up. Simply he is saying, wake up. Gain the knowledge of the self. Till you don't gain the knowledge of the self, you are bound to commit sin. You can't escape from it. You will be gathering punyas, you will be gathering pap. This is what will happen. So ignorant person commits sin. No person with knowledge can commit sin. If you say, sir, I know I should not put my finger into fire, and yet I am putting my finger into fire. What does that mean? If I put my finger into fire, fire will burn me. Therefore, I should not put my finger into fire. This knowledge I know. Still, I am putting my finger into fire. What would you call that person? Would you call that person knowledgeable? He doesn't know. He only has heard from people that if he puts finger into fire, fire will burn him. If he knew, he will not put finger into fire. Please remember this. You need to differentiate these two. We have also studied verses where Lord Krishna talked about Atma, Anatma, Atma, Satya, all that we have discussed in detail. Therefore, would you stop committing sin? No. You have heard about Atma. You do not know Atma. to the extent you do reflection over what you heard, to the extent you struggle with that information and make it your own, to the extent you identify with the I, to that extent you will not commit sin. This is the point. So strictly speaking, punishing a person is not going to solve the situation. You need to make him awake. Once he is awakened, he will not do it anymore. Nobody can consciously get into negativities. Try to get consciously angry. Try and get consciously angry with somebody. Consciously you can be forgiving. Consciously you cannot get angry. Are you with me? Unconsciously you can be injuring people. Consciously you cannot. So the whole thing that Krishna is talking about is, I reflect on the I. That is very important. To the extent your reflection about I matures, to that extent profit and loss will become equal to you. Then this game, this life would become a game. Today it is very serious business. Because you are mind oriented, you are mind attached, you are mind identified. As long as you are mind identified, to that extent life is a very serious business. To the extent you are Atma identified, to that extent life becomes a game.
I think this is the catch, to the extent.
Exactly.
We are still thinking it's either all or none. It's not all or none. There can be degrees of,
yes,
to the extent you are identifying, to that extent you are conscious.
Yes, that's why we say on a relative basis, on a daily basis, first thing in the morning, read and reflect on the scripture. And then your yoga, pranayama and all that also gives you a relative witnessing ability. And then little bit of prayer where you can do the gratitude, etc.
One has sorted out a lot of confusion.
Then when you do the action as a karma yoga and all that, slowly what are you doing? You are focusing on the I. To the extent you focus on the I, to that extent you are not identified with the mind. To the extent you are identified with the mind, profit and loss will be automatic. Any action that is done desire ridden, obviously you are looking in terms of profit and loss. So you must rise above the I. Here, when I say rise above the I mean the little self, ego. Ego is nothing but the false I. So you must gain the real I, knowledge of the real I, and then pitch up a higher goal and function. And thus you will be able to do it, not otherwise. Because simply reading about it, you are not going to immediately treat pleasure and pain alike. For example, when you do meditation, you are asked to observe the thoughts that come from within. Neither to criticize the thought that comes, nor appreciate it. If a thought of jealousy comes, you are not supposed to criticize. Why such a thought is coming? Nothing, just observe. Similarly, any good thought comes, don't get involved in it. Observe. You are told that, right? So what do? You observe thought of jealousy, love, whatever it might be. Then the observer is separated from the observed. The witnessing ability is increased. And to the extent you are a witness, to that extent you will not entertain the thought of profit and loss. Otherwise, the thought of profit comes, you are involved in it, before you realize you've done an action. So before you act, become a witness, says Krishna. That's the advice here. Lot of us are plunging into action by without gaining knowledge. When you plunge into action, you are bound to commit sin. So Krishna is here saying, gain the knowledge and plunge into action. We think we can live our life without any training. We think life is just like how I know how to eat and sleep, I can also live. That's not true.
So
you need to gain the knowledge of how to live.
Just say it one more time. When you observe your thoughts, the power of being a witness increases.
Yeah.
To that extent, karam nahi bandhta hai.
To that extent? You not become a bondage.
You're not becoming bonded to your actions, and you're doing less actions. To the extent of being a witness. Right?
See, there are only two problems. There are only two categories according to the definition. One is knowledgeable, other one is ignorant. Ignorant person goes on committing sin, goes on gaining punya. Knowledgeable person just simply does anything being awake. They are not bothered about good action, they are bothered about awakening. Awakening. So Krishna's advice is also the same thing here. He is not saying do good actions. He is not even concerned about action. He is concerned about awakening. Once you are awake, all your actions become freed from sin. Consciously you cannot hurt anybody. You are not hurting anybody to get anything out of it for you. If at all you do any action which apparently happens to be hurting somebody, this action is not done to hurt somebody else to gain something for you. You would have done the same thing to you if in the context it has to be done. There is no difference for such a person between you and the other. When an ignorant person does that action, he is different from the other. He is causing injury to somebody to gain profit. In his case here, a knowledgeable person is not doing it that way. So therefore, before you plunge into action, gain the knowledge about the actor. Who am I? To the extent I have the knowledge of the I, to that extent I become objective. Without objectivity, whatever I do, I'll be doing it with involvement. I am bound to commit sin. Even if I am singing bhajans, there will be ego there. I am not allowed to sing. I should have been the one who should have started the bhajans. They started. In bhajan session there is ego. So the point is, before action, once the action is started, it can have any effect. You do not know. Before even you start the action, you should have conquered the pairs of opposites mentally. So opposites are one side, Atma on the other side. Mind on one side, Atma on the other side. If you ignorantly believe I am the mind, then you are not going to be able to treat pleasure and pain alike. If you have knowledge that you are not the mind, you are Atma, then you will be able to treat pleasure and pain alike. Mind has to have two. Mind functions with two. Are you with me? The moment you bring the mind to present, it will die. It has to have future and past. So the question is, how do I treat pleasure and pain alike? By gaining the knowledge of Atma. How do I gain the knowledge of Atma? Every day, sadhana. Not just studying Bhagavad Gita once a week, but every day from morning till night, unless I convert my lifestyle. Do reflection, manana. Right? To that extent, I will associate with I. To that extent, while acting also, I will be there. Otherwise, I would have gone with the mind. Mind wants to choose between pleasure and pain. Mind will choose pleasure without understanding that pain will follow. It will go on resisting pain, the pain will follow. So in short, Krishna is saying that you must gain the knowledge of the self. Otherwise, there is no redemption. Having awakened, you do the action. Not with the borrowed information. Somebody told you are Atma and therefore you have no sin. And then you went ahead without reflection, without even really understanding who the I is. You will find yourself getting bound because you will be doing actions with motive. Because you are only informed. You have not realized the self. So the battle of life has to be fought from the shore of Atma. But a lot of us are married to the mind. Since we are already married to the mind, we are going by profit and loss. And with profit motive, you are bound to commit sin. You are bound to cut corners. You are bound to compromise here and there. And you will be committing sin. And the more you do sin, then the more punya activities you want to do. The wrong means you have gained all the things that you should not have gained. And then now what do you do? Oh, death is coming close by. So what do? Keep on doing some charitable actions. Go from one extreme to another. Pap to punya. Once you become conscious, you will not take more than what is necessary for you. Oliver Goldsmith says, nakedness of this world can be clothed with the trimmings of the vein.
Trimming of the
vein. Mm-hmm. You just open the cupboard, 2500 saris fall on you. You understand? You are taking more than what is necessary, therefore you are denying somebody else. The trimmings, the extra things, if it's given away, he says the nakedness will go away. If you are conscious, you will not overeat. Consciously, can you overeat? Consciously, will you do unnecessary purchases? You better have consciousness if you want to have credit card with you. You understand? If you want to have credit cards with you, you better have awareness. And you will have awareness before you went to the shop. Once you went there, you've seen all the objects, awareness is gone. And this is the symbolism that Swamiji talks about when he talks about Lord Rama hiding behind the tree and shooting Vali. Vali represents lust. The moment you go in front of the object of your desire, your awareness is taken away. You hide behind the trees. Trees give shade to anybody, doesn't distinguish whether you are Brahmana or Kshatriya or Shudra, etc. So trees represent knowledge. Anybody who takes shelter, it gives knowledge. And with that knowledge, you fortify yourself with awareness and then shoot your lust. So how do you conquer sin? You can only conquer sin by gaining awareness. Without gaining awareness, just gathering information, nothing will happen to you. You could have gathered information, Bhagavad Gita information, after studying 18 chapters, you've now got information about Bhagavad Gita. Then Ashtavakra Gita. Then what? Then you go to Yoga Vasishtha. You can go on gathering information on one side, on the other side you will continue committing sin. Why? Because your identification with mind is never left. You continue to identify with the mind. Information will not help you detach from the mind. It is a reflection over the information. Even if the information is little bit, if you reflect, you go deep, then identify with the real I, you kindle the awareness, then you don't incur sin. This is the point. So therefore, nobody in spirituality would advise you to just become good. The advice is to wake up. Being good helps to wake up. Being good per se is not spiritual. Please understand this. Just being good is not spiritual. Being good helps you to wake up. So therefore they say associate with good people. Just because you associate with good people doesn't mean you will realize the self. Associating with good people, instead of gossiping, they'll discuss about these things. These are all external help that you will have. It will help you to move towards consciousness. And anything that will help you to move towards consciousness is what you are supposed to do. Because why does a person commit sin? Simply because he lost awareness. And a lot of us pass judgment. Oh, that fellow was greedy. This fellow was this. You did not get an opportunity. No, Plato has written a story about an invisible, the power of a person suddenly gets a power to become invisible. Supposing you are given that power and you become invisible. Suddenly you will see your mind wanting to do all sorts of nonsense. Wanting to steal somebody else's property. Huh? Today, you don't have that power. You are not invisible. The moment you become invisible, that's what Plato says, the mind would get into all sorts of things. You'll be surprised. So in other words, he had an opportunity and lacked awareness, hence he succumbed. You are not any better. You just did not get an opportunity. Not that you have awareness. If you were there instead of him, you would have also fallen. This is what Vishwamitra is trying to educate us. Vishwamitra was an awakened soul. He could not fall for Menaka. He could create 25 more Menakas if he wanted. He is educating us. Without awareness, you are playing about with Menakas of life. Any minute you can fall. If somebody, when you read the newspaper, oh, this fellow committed this sin, that fellow committed that sin. He lacked awareness. He met with an opportunity, fell. You thank your stars that such an opportunity has not struck you. You are not an awakened person. You will also fall. Just a question of right time. So before such a thing happens, wake up. That's what he says, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrin Karne. All these secular values, the good things will not save you. What will save you is only Govinda. If you had awareness, then you will not fall. You did not have awareness, you will fall. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.